Everyone, welcome back to the 343 Sparkcast. Once again, I'm David Ellis, your host, content producer here at 343. And I'm joined once again by Frank O'Connor, Franchise Development Director.
You're welcome.
And we have a special third guest today, and I'm going to let him introduce himself.
My name is Lionel Ward. I am designer on the matchmaking systems team.
So we wanted to get everyone together today. We're recording this on Monday, October 3rd. And barring any oddities, and it's a podcast, so oddities will happen, we might actually put it up today. Or if not, you'll hear it on the 4th or the 5th or the 6th or some other day after that. But I want to get everyone together to talk a little bit about the TU Beta Hoppers, which are rolling out sometime in the night between October 2nd or October 3rd and 4th. Did I say it's October 2nd? I don't even know what day it is.
You've no idea.
I'm clueless.
Today is October 3rd. October 4th. So ideally, we'd like to get this podcast out before then so that people are prepared.
Yes.
Should be today because it's going to be tonight.
Yes.
That we're doing this.
Or tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
It's always fuzzy when it becomes tonight becomes tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
I think it's midnight, but it's not actually.
No. It's always midnight somewhere, so.
Exactly. But before we kick that off, wanted to do a quick run back on, of course, Halo Fest, which happened at the end of August here in Seattle. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. I had a great time that weekend. Frank, I know you were pretty busy all weekend as well, and I think you were around as well, Al. Right?
Oh, yeah. I spent a lot of time at Halo Fest. It was amazing. Just strictly from a fan's perspective, I had a great time before, you know, collecting feedback on the TU stuff that we showed there or just checking everything out. The panels were mind-blowing. Good times.
I think that was due to the excellent moderating for the panels.
I think it was to do with the selection of guests.
Yeah, but I think really the moderating.
Some of the guests, and not all of the guests, I'll be honest. I mean a really specific subset of those guests.
We're not going to say those out loud.
No.
You know who
they know who they
about.
Are. Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, that weekend was a lot of fun because we've been planning this for months and months and months and months.
Yep.
And we had seen these CG mock-ups of what it would look like when we were actually in there. But when I actually walked in the first day before it was running and actually saw everything set up, I was sort of even myself who had seen this stuff was blown away by how everything came together and looked great.
Yeah, it was amazing to just walk in through that Forerunner-themed entrance and see this monument to all our sins laid out before us. It was It was part museum, part party, part disco, part LAN.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty adequate description.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great party. It was.
Yeah. But I honestly want to thank everyone that I got a chance to talk to and meet over the weekend, whether it was the guys from Bungie who joined us pretty much all weekend. Of course, a bunch of folks from 343. In fact, we had a bunch of folks who volunteered their free time to actually help work Halo Fest. And that kind of blew me away. You have people who are working crazy hours right now from the various teams within the studio coming in and volunteering time like that. It just
From Fight Like a Girl.
Yep.
Yeah.
The actors. The voice actors. Jen Taylor.
Steve Downs.
Pete Stacker. Yeah, it was amazing to see those guys.
And of course, Tim Dodabo
was all over the place. It was awesome. Like just about everyone who went to PAX bumped into him at a restaurant. he's a very busy monitor.
That was that panel in particular was really, really interesting for me because I was moderating it, but we had a rough idea. Marty had said, I got some things that I'm going to bring. It should be fun. Then 10 minutes before, he's like, yeah, I have a bunch of outtakes going back 10 plus years.
Yep.
So I had no idea what it was. So I just kind of handed it over to Marty and we plugged into his audio device and kind of went for there. And I just stood there laughing for the first 20 minutes or so.
It was awesome. And the fact that Steve Downs and Jen Taylor had never met, that's the voices of Master Chief and Cortana respectively, was incredible. I didn't know that until they met. It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. So
yeah, that definitely blew me away. But of course,
it was touching. There was a lot of touching.
Lots of touching. Good touching.
Good touching. No, Uncle Bad Touch.
But, of course, the highlight for me was the Halo 4 panel on Sunday morning. That was the Paramount Theater. I hadn't been in there before.
Yep.
I walked in, and we were doing tech setup way before anyone showed up. And I was just looking around, and it was sort of like that scene from Hoosiers at the end when the Hickory basketball team walks into the Hoosier Dome. And it's like, we don't belong here.
Bad News Bears when they get to the
Astrodome.
Karate Kid when he walks into the tournament.
No, because that wasn't really impressive. That was like a rec center.
I've never seen Hoosiers, so I had to go with something where there was leg sweeping.
You've never seen Hoosiers?
Don't care. Is it about college sports?
Nope, high school basketball.
Yeah, it's even worse. Then you just knock yourself out. If you like watching high schoolers play basketball. And
you're going to get so much hate mail for hating on Hoosiers.
I'll go watch Hoosiers and be informed about it before I criticize it. If they're at man tears,
you're a Cylon.
No, I don't have tears.
Especially now that you're like...
Dust comes out. Dust.
You may not know this, but Frank has grown a beard, so he's now Mirror Universe Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Bizarro Frank.
Yeah. Exactly.
I realized I'm starting to get, like, if I just put on a suit, I'll look like, what's his face from Iron Man?
Oh, yeah. You do kind of...
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. I can see that. Mm-hmm. You also, right after Halo Fest, went over to Tokyo for the Tokyo Game Show.
I did, yeah. I love going to Japan, and we had a blast, but we didn't even see Tokyo Game Show. We were in a hotel suite the whole time doing demos of Pillar of Autumn 3D. An accidental Kinect demo happened when somebody blurted out one of the Kinect words. yeah. And in Japanese as well. I was like, ah, son of a. And but they're doing this power conservancy thing in Japan right now where they're turning off a lot of lights. So when our train rolled in Shibuya, which is normally, it's the opening scene from Tekken, with the crazy lights and stuff. We go in there and all the lights are off, and it was really weird. And then later we're in this hotel, the New Otani, the ironically named New Otani, which is a somewhat dusty old hotel out in Makuhari Messi. And they were conserving power by turning the air conditioning off in our room. So that was awesome.
And for people who haven't been there, that time of year.
Oh, yeah.
It's about 95 degrees.
95 degrees, about 90% humidity.
It's like a New Orleans cop's underwear in there. Like, and you just have to live through it. It's vile.
Voice of experience.
Right, I sweated through 3 t-shirts in the first morning. And it was before I realized that I was going to have to switch to a different color of t-shirt. So.
Did you have it set up so they were doing laundry service for you throughout the day so you could rotate?
No, I just kept going in a cold bath like Jacob's Ladder.
And for people who may not have seen it, you mentioned the Pillar of Autumn demo. People can actually see some highlights of that on GameTrailers.com.
Yeah, it was funny talking people through the Pillar of Autumn demo. One of the things that I knew this, but I hadn't really thought about it until we were demoing it for people, is that Pillar of Autumn is actually an incredibly simplistic Halo level. There's no sandbox elements in it at all. So it's really just training you how to look around and how to navigate through 3D space with a controller. And so it's one of the weirdest nostalgia bursts as you run through it. And it's one of the most unique feeling levels in all of Halo, I think. And it's very simple.
It's a corridor shooter.
Yeah, it's literally a corridor shooter.
I've always felt like Pillar of Autumn's almost like a bait and switch.
Yeah.
You play this and you're like, it's just
like any other shooter.
It's like Marathon.
And
it's like Quake.
Playing that makes you realize that, like, I mean, there's got to be a significant number of people who played Halo once, had been used to playing FPS games with a mouse, are in a pretty conventional corridor shooter, confused by the joysticks, put it down and never played it again. Never got to drive a warthog, never got to explore an alpine landscape, never got to fight a hunter. I mean, you could see people being put off by that level because it's not actually indicative of the rest of the game. I mean, it's actually really cool. You go back and you're a god at it now, right? But you play it and you realize just how very sterile and simple it is compared to the other levels in the game.
Yeah, at this point, I think that's probably the level I've played through the most throughout the development of Anniversary because every time I get a new build in, I usually just run through that. And I know Greg Herman, he does it every time to confirm that no new bugs have been introduced. Yeah. And at this point, there are no new bugs coming at all. But
They're down to 6 bugs today.
Yep.
So we're getting close to shipping that thing. So.
Yeah, it should be going gold here in the next week or so.
The bugs are, it crashes all the time, it blows up, and no.
Can't
6,
crouch.
Yeah, 6 bugs is...
Weapons fire backwards.
6 bugs is almost zero, actually, I mean, in the grand scheme of things. So.
Every morning I'll talk to Dennis Reese, his producer on the game, be like, so where are you guys at? Like, down to 50, then we're back to 70, then we're down to 10.
Yeah.
And so at this point, it's just the last few and then clearing those out.
Yep.
And be pretty shipping exciting. It here pretty soon.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And when are you guys putting up that the anniversary documentary that I just watched the other day?
Is that the one that Dan Josick?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we actually have 3 behind the scenes videos sort of Vidoc style if you will that are covering some of the core feature sets of the game, I don't know if I want to go. I'll say it. One's campaign focused. One's focused on the audio, which is music and sound effects. And a third is focused on the terminals. Mm-hmm. And so those are pretty much.
Wait, you've seen all 3 of those?
Yeah.
I've only seen the campaign one.
Yeah. So there's more of them. They're making their rounds through the
review. I demand to be emailed before the end of the day.
Yeah, I can send you a link to it.
Sounds really cool.
Of course, everyone listening at home is just yelling at us right now because
spoiler.
But we'll be putting those out over the next several weeks leading up to launch. Mm-hmm. We also have a new trailer that's going to be hitting leading up as well. And so we're going to be showing off a variety of spaces that people haven't seen yet.
And you guys are going to New York Comic Con very shortly?
A lot of us are. I'm not going. I think you're going, aren't you, Frank?
I'm not going to New York Comic Con. I'm banned from New York ever since the Chud shenanigans in 83.
Yeah, but we're going to be showing off some cool stuff there. We have a panel at New York Comic Con. So if you are on the East Coast, you're going to be going anyway. I do recommend going. I think it's like Saturday night at 7 or 8 p.m. I'll have to double check. You can look online and find it. It's kind of a weird time, but I think everyone that shows up will actually your time will not be wasted. There's going to be some cool stuff shown off there. And so we still have some things that we haven't shown off. Of course, Frank mentions some of the Kinect stuff. We'll be talking over that in the next coming weeks. And we still have a multiplayer map that we really haven't blown out. People have seen a hint of it here or there, but they haven't really seen how it's come together. And it looks awesome. So,
and speaking of multiplayer.
Exactly. Perfect transition as I make a weird throat clicky noise.
We're pros. Thing. We're pros.
It's pretty good. But want to talk about, obviously, if you're listening to this, we have the TU Beta Hoppers that are finally launching October 4th, I'm assuming. We're going to talk as if it happened already. Launched great.
Yeah.
There's no issues.
Or they're launched later tonight.
Exactly.
Depending on your...
As you're downloading them. In fact, they might be there. Go check. We'll wait.
Did you check?
Come on. You said you were going to check.
You just lost them. They're playing now. Yeah. They've seen them in game.
You can plug out the USB thumb drive into your system. You can play it through custom music. It works great.
Well, so I haven't done that before.
Play and listen. It's the only way. Do you want to give a little quick rundown, Elle, on some of the things that we're featuring? We've talked about it. You did a little write-up to help out with the Halo Bulletin last week.
Sure.
What's
so,
going on.
The title update changes are a little bit of changes to Armor Lock, a little bit of changes to Invis. We're toning down Bloom to 85% across most of the game types. And then, of course, Zero Bloom, which we've released already via the Waypoint file share. People have been in custom games really enjoying that. Now you get a chance to go play against some strangers, beat up on some strangers. So it'll be some of that. And then what we wanted to do is collect information across a very wide swath of game types. And so in the TU Beta Hopper, you're going to have some Slayer. You're going to have some Slayer DMRs for Bloom changes, things like that. You're going to get some objective game types. And when I say objective, I mean capture the flag. You're going to see, a little assault. You're going to see some speed flag. You're going to see some oddball, just a real wide array so that we can get as much feedback as possible on how the title update changes will affect gameplay across all of Halo. And that's things like damage bleed, things like the new no sword clang for those of us who really enjoy using the sword.
So one of the things we've talked about this before, but we should probably hit on it again, is like the core for this title update was, A, it set the foundation for Halo Anniversary to allow us to do some fun things there. We've talked about the ability to tweak the rate of fire and damage output for the pistols.
Oh, so, I didn't even bring up the pistol.
Yeah. So when Anniversary hits on November 15th, you'll be able to play these Anniversary game types. We're not running those in the TU beta because we want to keep some stuff up back so that it's fresh and new when it hits on the 15th. But part of it is just to allow us more options so that we can tweak things because, you put stuff out there in the open and you have hundreds of thousands of people basically playing on it, trying to figure out how to exploit things. We wanted to have the option in case people maybe do find something that we can then further tweak that stuff in the back end. That's why we're running these beta.
Sure. Hands. Or, on the flip side of that, if we decide that something needs a little more of a tweak in a direction, rather than exploit.
We were talking about that a little bit this morning.
Yeah, we were talking about that this morning in the event that, say, we need to turn Armor Lock down just a touch more. So that's really cool that we can control those things individually now. And the TU Beta Hopper is the place where we're going to be trying out all of those tweaks before it rolls out into matchmaking.
Are there any of the tweaks that are going to be introduced for the first time in the Beta Hoppers as they relate to the custom game that we put out?
So actually, I think in that particular custom game, we did go ahead and put everything in there. One of the reasons we did that is so we could go ahead and start collecting some feedback for a wide variety. If you go to halowaypoint.com/TU, it'll take you to a thread on our official multiplayer forums on Halo Waypoint. And we've actually broken that out in the original post there. So we want very specific feedback. So you can give feedback on the changes to Armor Lock. You can give feedback on the damage bleed through. You can give feedback on the sword. You can give basically feedback in very specific threads on each one of these changes. And that's going to allow us to really dive in deep to each one of these. So, just have one thread with 20 million people talking about everything.
Yeah, turn it on. Yeah.
Exactly. We can keep it more specified. So,
but you won't be able to try the 3-shot pistol because that comes out on November 15th.
Exactly. Like I said, we're holding that back. But, if you've played the Zero Bloom and you've played the pistol as it existed in that particular game type, it's pretty beefy.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It changes close quarters combat completely. One thing I would ask people to be patient with is these are beta hoppers, and the word beta is very important. You should not be going into these hoppers and thinking, oh, this is how it's going to be, or this is the end goal. These are beta. We are testing things that are fun, and we're testing things that we know aren't particularly fun as well, because we have to see the how these things balance out. So don't expect that what you're seeing is either a sampling or a snapshot of what will eventually be the full matchmaking changes. These are our tests, and please treat them as such and enjoy them. There's definitely lots of fun to be had in there. But understand that when you come across things that are unpleasant to you, A, talk about it, and we'll be tracking that. And B, pardon our dust. This is a beta, and we're trying out things that we know aren't going to be optimum so that we can figure out other things in the background. So please bear with us.
Yeah, definitely this first go around. We're going to run it all the way up through November 15th. But probably talk a little bit about that we're actually hoping to continue these beta hoppers even post November 15th and kind of use it as our experimental.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we talked about this as well this morning. There's all kinds of different iterations of Halo, right? So you've got your big team battle, you've got your free-for-all, you've got your infection. And so this is a great place where we can get in and say, okay, well, next month in the beta hopper, we want to change it to big team battle. We want to come up with a, spoiler surprise here. Or we want to look at how this is going to affect free-for-all instead of team games. Beta hopper's perfect place to do that because it is the beta hopper.
Yeah, and it's in a place because of, it has that beta word attached to it where we can be just more experimental with it.
Mm-hmm.
And people go into it kind of expecting, new stuff. But you can also play your regular reach the way you want it.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to affect that at all.
Right.
So Frank, have you been playing some of Zero Bloom?
I have. Weirdly, I'm probably one of the least fussy Halo players ever. You'll see I consistently finish about bottom or second to bottom in any team of decent people. So I'm neither pro nor to complete scrub. Like, I know what I'm doing. I'm just not very good at it. And so I'm able to observe a lot as I play it. And I got to be honest, I've really been enjoying Zero Bloom. But by the same token, it hasn't changed my ability to succeed or fail in any particular way. And that I won't really see how I map out until I'm playing in matchmaking. Because right now, all the custom games I'm playing are against really good players.
Yeah.
I mean, and what's happening is I'm getting donged on. But what I've discovered is that in engagements, definitely against snipers, and a lot of people have seen this, if I come down a corridor and there's a sniper in front of me, I have a chance to not just deflect their shot, which is really all I could have hoped for before, but to kill them and take the sniper rifle. So I find I'm picking up a lot more dropped sniper rifles in customs than I used to.
And people have noticed that the bloom reduction, even if it's just 85% or actually 0%, does not affect sniper.
No,
that's intentional.
Yeah. But the other thing I discovered is that I'm still pacing my shots, but differently and for a different reason. I'm pacing them for accuracy. So now I'm pacing them to get headshots rather than – and I have never been good at the four torso, one head cadence. I just can't do that. So I'm always shooting for head. But now I'm pacing for that headshot. It's much quicker. So it's still a much, much quicker encounter, but I'm still finding myself, and sometimes I forget and I pace it for bloom and get killed.
Yeah, I hear you being really modest about your Halo skills, but we played a game the other day and I had feedback I gave David Ellis, which is he's got a good strafe and well-placed grenades.
Yeah, I'm really good at throwing grenades. I mean, I'll put a grenade exactly where I intend to put it.
Everything but shooting your pro.
everything except shooting people. And also, just because I'm great at throwing a grenade doesn't mean that you're standing there anymore. So it's like I'll put a grenade exactly where I intend to do it. Like when a wizard shows up exactly as he intends to, but you may not be there anymore. You may just be watching it and laughing.
What's been interesting with that particular game type is very specifically intentionally, we didn't tweak a lot of the other things like damage or damage resistance or any of that stuff because we just wanted to get a good baseline of what people were, you know, used to.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting that at least we've seen a lot of feedback from people that feel like the Strafe, even at just base speeds,
has been improved.
Is more effective. And people actually thought we're asking if we changed anything with the title.
No, that's really just we're just changing the way they play. And you know, when you're strafing and accommodating for Bloom, you're strafing differently. It's as simple as that. So I think that's what people are noticing. But I've noticed most of the games that I'm playing in customs, and to be fair, I'm playing with a fairly limited subset of people on my friends list, people at work. They are doing the 125% speed and trying to make it feel like Halo. But I still miss almost every custom I've played has sprint turned off. And I find I've been missing sprint a lot. But I get that in anniversary as well. If I play an anniversary campaign, I keep hitting the LB button to sprint. And it's not
there. That's something I don't want to give up, being sprint monogamous. You know, jetpack, all that stuff.
I always just pick sprint. Always. Doesn't matter what's going on. And I can't adapt. Like, even if I realize I really should be using jetpack now, doesn't matter. Sprinting.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, one of the things that people have been saying, and people seem to be enjoying, we've been tracking in the back end how many people are playing, and it's cool because that day it went out. By the end of the day, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different variants that people have created based on the base one. I know MLG, they had a variant for their version 6 maps that day. A lot of people were playing that, and we can actually track and see how many different versions of, you know, Zero Bloom, ZB, however it was tracked or rated, and see how many people were playing
on top of the thousands of downloads of the base game type even the first day, right?
Yeah. So, and for some reason, I find people playing the Pit more often, or Pit variants more often than I have in any other set of custom games in my life.
Yeah, so. And I was recommending that with a couple of people we were playing with. We actually were doing an AV8, which is might be a little bit more than you want, but I actually think if you're playing it socially and you're playing it for fun, it's still even a lot of fun. AV8. I know if you're super hardcore, semi-pro, it's probably not the best in the world because you get a lot of – there's a few areas where you can get a lot of clog action going on.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that you're talking about where it gets clumpy is team kill. Mm-hmm. So when you're being team shot, I found when Bloom was on, I found that experience super frustrating because you there was no way you could pick between – say you see two guys coming at you diagonally. You had to just pick one. And you probably weren't going to kill him.
First kill first.
Probably weren't going to kill him. You were going to die from being team shot. I find that with Zero Bloom, especially in DMR, I can maybe get one of them, which is much more satisfying when you're being team shot. Because first you break up their team so that team is gone for at least a few seconds. And secondly, you get a kill out of it. And it's just much less frustrating than like the zero sum game that would happen with that. And it's team killing still works, believe me. But at least now you definitely have a window to return fire, especially if they're coming from the front. It doesn't really help you from behind, but that never.
What's interesting,
much you
were
anyway.
Talking a little bit about earlier about still spamming your shots. And there's definitely some spots where you want to do that.
Oh yeah.
At distance, because your reticle is basically the diameter of the bullet coming at your gun at really extreme distance. Yeah. Just hitting R rapidly will vibrate your controller just enough that it can throw your aim depending on what your sensitivity is set off. It's one of the reasons I still play with vibration off on my controller.
You play with vibration off?
I can't do that. Vibration off. I've turned it off since Halo
I need
3.
The feedback to know I'm being shot. Because, I mean, like, team killing is an excellent example. The best feedback you get for being team shot isn't visual. It's physical, right?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah. And otherwise, I just feel like I die for no reason every time. I absolutely need Rumble on. It's purely psychological. It doesn't help me in any way.
Yeah.
I need to know why I died.
Even in playtests here around the office, I will just the first thing I do is just turn it off. And I even play a lot of times with headphones off. And I think it's because if I can be effective with that, if I have headphones on, I'll be even.
You're like
effective.
The Zatoichi of Halo, right? You're the blind swordsman. You should wear a blindfold. Do it.
Sometimes my stats bear that out. I've just taken a first step into a much larger world.
Yeah.
I've been looking forward to how people will react to that. And when we put those out there, it's going to be fun because, you know, we talked a little bit about last time when Jamie was on talking about playing with that three-shot pistol in a LAN environment versus playing it online.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how that does play out.
Even Zero Bloom. I mean, people who go into it, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people who enter these hoppers and they will not know what's going on. They weren't watching the forums. They don't read news. They're going to go in and they're going to die and they're going to say, why did that happen? And so, first off, try and communicate with people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I always encourage that anyway. Tell people what's going on. Help them. I mean, why not?
And in the first couple of days, especially with the Zero Bloom one, there are going to be a lot of people that are like, what is this?
Yeah.
If you've got someone on your team that's asking what it is, try to be nice and respectful at least once.
Say there's no bloom on. You don't have to pace your shots the way you used to.
Exactly.
Just shoot for the head as fast as you can, and you'll do well in this mode. And just tell them. And, you know, it's like when you go to matchmaking in an objective game and you don't know where the flag is, which happens for your first couple of games of any map.
Or where to take the bomb, sure.
Just tell people. Tell people. Don't just scream at them and say, you're taking it the wrong way. Tell them which way to go.
So. Yeah, and, you know, we've been working with and we'll continue to work with. We've always worked with our community partners and helping to support that as much as possible. Been in communications with MLG, with Griffball teams, Griffball group as well, so they can get stuff they need to start figuring out what part of the title update they may or may not want to use. Definitely been getting a lot of feedback from some of the MLG pros, and for some of them that may not realize, we have been in pretty constant communication with the head folks over at MLG and trying to make sure that we're helping them to support their playlists as much as possible, because that's their baby. We want to make sure that we get everything they want. One of the things that I've seen a request for, and we'll probably put it out there probably separately, is a request for a Zero Bloom objective.
Yep, version we're in the works.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Spoiler, official announce. Yes, we're working on your Zero Bloom CTFs and assaults.
Yep, and depending on how the cadence works of rolling it out, I don't think I'm saying too much here to say that we are looking to keep a similar cadence to what Bungie did. I feel like Jeremiah and everyone over there, you're working as part of that.
Mm-hmm.
You did a pretty awesome job of supporting Reach monthly, regularly. There were constraints. You can't always do everything you want to do, but I think they did a really good job, and we're going to hope to continue doing that and putting out, regular updates every month. But, we do have the possibility, because we can do things like take specific game types and put them out there in customs in between releases, maybe depending on time like that, we might be able to do that again in the future, like we did with the Zero Bloom, to kind of test things before we actually roll it out there.
I think that's a pretty metered and fair statement. Sure.
Yeah. Exactly. So I guess what are you guys expecting to see out of this?
There's going to be things that happen. I mean, if you think about when you're chasing someone who's carrying a flag, and you think about maybe there's probably about a half a second of time eliminated just because there's no bloom with Zero Bloom.
Yep.
So that means that flag is going to fall down a half a second before it would have. And that's going to change pursuits. It's going to change your escape with a flag. There's all these sort of unpredictable things that are going to fall out of this. And again, that's what the beta is for, is to find out, is that too much? Is that too little? And it's just going to be interesting to see what kind of emergent behaviors and changes come out of that process. And there's things that we can predict, and there's things that we're expecting, but there's going to be things that pop out that we just didn't see coming. So
yeah, and I know you've been looking at Speed Flag recently,
Speed Flag's definitely going to get some tweaks. I want to stick to what the game type is supposed to be, but also give defending players chance to return a taken flag. What I'm really interested in seeing is the changes that on people's pathing behavior on maps, knowing that before they may have been safe because Bloom would have kept an enemy to two
corners
shots.
You could get around.
So that's going to be really interesting for me, and how people really affect cover and use cover.
I know, just for myself, I'm way more paranoid now than I was before.
To run out in the open?
Yeah, because you really have to think about it, especially if you are not using sprint. You really do have to think, is it really worth taking this route or finding an alternate where I have more cover?
Sure.
And that's been interesting. I think, the damage bleed stuff, especially if people get more used to it and can kind of figure out the timing on things
like that. Are we talking about the melee battles?
Yes.
All right.
Because definitely it's going to play differently than in traditional we kind of use the term vanilla Reach. It's just a generic term to describe the Reach that launched, the 1.0 Reach.
Mm-hmm.
You had some people who would just sort of, their tactic was to close the distance as quick as possible, melee once and melee twice.
Right.
And so one of the reasons that we have a lot of different tools that we can use to sort of tweak that and adjust player behavior accordingly. But it'll be interesting because I actually found with the damage bleed that's in there, I'm much more – you really do need to make sure that you're at full health as much as humanly possible. If you get into an encounter 1v1 with someone else and you survive it and they've taken your health down
–
You want to go run and grab a health pack. It definitely makes it a much more integral part than maybe sometimes it did before, because you always had that barrier of, even if you just had one sliver of shield, no matter what damage they did, unless it was a power weapon, you were going to survive that as if you had full shields, in essence, until the shields popped.
Yeah. That's one of the hardest things for me to go back to was fighting against conventional armor lock. Like, I was playing a couple of nights ago, and there was a guy on their team that was using it. You know when people can use it really well, and yep. it just stops everything? And we were like, and it was really hard to go back to that. Because, again, it was that pause button effect.
And that was one of the things, which actually people will see a difference between the Zero Bloom game type to the beta hoppers that are rolling
out. Yes, they will.
Because we actually expected feedback once we looked at all the back-end stuff and see how people are playing. It's like we've actually tweaked that a little bit. So people mm-hmm. from even tonight or yesterday, depending on when you download and started playing. And that's actually, I should point out, you don't have to download anything. The second you log in, once the hoppers are rolled out there, you'll be able to play them immediately. There's nothing you have to do or anything like that. So I'm definitely looking forward to getting out there and playing with folks and seeing how it is. And, of course, as we get closer to the launch of Anniversary, I'm really looking forward to seeing how people play in those hoppers and game types.
Huge Reach fan. I am so excited for the new maps, some more DLC for Reach, some more big team support. So many great things are happening around the release of Anniversary.
It's a huge amount of content. I mean, yeah. the amount of multiplayer content that this adds to the matchmaking playlist is going to be insane. So, yep.
And as we talked about before, is like, you know, in the past, there's been some lag between, you know, for example, an ODST hit and those maps hitting. We're looking to reduce that as much as we possibly can. And so we'll be talking about that more at launch
yep.
and thereafter. So yep. I would recommend personally, you should pick up Anniversary.
It's definitely the best monetary plan. Like you get a lot of content for your $40.
So. Yeah. And, you know, I've been playing through it pretty much nonstop. You know, we're almost going gold here in the next week or so, and we'll be online playing with folks who are going to be reviewing it after that. So it's definitely I know the guys who've been working on it day in and day out, they're so close, and you can tell like they have been through a battle. I mean, this has been a pretty yeah. accelerated production schedule from day one to when we launch it, and it's been honestly, it really has been a labor of love for everyone who's been working on this project. And so we're looking forward to people, you know, honestly, we're almost more excited for the fans to be able to get their hands on it and play it and enjoy, because there's a lot of cool stuff in there. There's a lot of stuff that you may not notice in the first playthrough. Some of the things we talked about with Easter eggs and the differences between the classic graphics and the newer graphics, yep. some fun stuff in there.
Terminals, so. Achievements, lots and lots of stuff. So.
Yep. And, you know, we'll be talking about more of that stuff. We'll probably be putting the achievements out before launch.
Yeah, because they tend to leak on PartnerNet, so we may,
exactly.
as, well, may as well list them.
So you can probably look for that at a bulletin near you here in the next couple of weeks or so. One thing I want to talk about, and I talked about it a little bit on Twitter and some of the forums out there, is after this episode goes out there, probably starting next Monday, we're actually going to be putting out a separate podcast download every single day. And what we're doing is we're actually taking all the panels from Halo Fest, and we're actually just going to put the audio out there. So if you want to be able to experience that, don't necessarily want to sit down on your TV or your computer monitor and watch it. If you have commutes, things like that, we're going to be putting up one each day, and we're going to planning on putting up all of them. We'll probably include the Q&A in there as well. So I'm working on getting those and making sure that they sound as good as possible. So you can kind of experience that. And if you haven't sat down and watched all of them yet, it's a little easier to just kind of listen. It's a little more passive. So we'll be doing that in the next couple of weeks. I think we're just about ready to wrap this one up since we're trying to get it out there as soon as possible for everything. So
yep.
anything else, Frank, L, you guys want to hit on before we roll up out of here?
No, just be patient with the beta hoppers. Make sure that you're given as lucid, clear feedback, and we'll be paying attention to close attention.
That's what I really wanted to get out there was we love both the positive and negative feedback regarding what you're seeing.
Yep.
So you want to have it be in a constructive manner, but we want to know why. Not just what you're feeling, but why it feels that way yep. when you play the game. So.
Yep, and we will definitely be watching. And if folks out there are giving consistently good feedback, are participating, you know, we'll make sure to make note of those names so that in the future maybe we can do something for you guys. Real quick before we roll out, I wanted to say you can of course keep up with everything via Twitter is Halo Waypoint. On Facebook, you can go Halo Waypoint, Halo Reach, Halo Anniversary. We have pages for pretty much every single Halo title out there, and of course in the forums on HaloWaypoint.com. We also have our old forums are still technically in beta, so now we have Gamma forums. But we're testing out new forum software that we're going to be moving to hopefully pretty soon, which gives us a lot of more flexibility on moderation. Just has a lot of cool new stuff that we're adding to that. So please participate in the regular beta forums, but also if you get a chance, participate in the Gamma forums as well.
Do the Gamma forums have Bruce Banner ads?
They don't. But you can Photoshop that. If you need Mark Ruffalo giving some blue steel on the cover of EW, you can do that. So I think we're going to go grab some lunch since we recorded this at lunch. And hopefully this will be out there as soon as possible. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Or talk to you next time. You can't see us. This is audio.
Peace.